Good morning. Good morning. So, good morning, everyone. I was hoping for another good morning, but it's fun. It's really, really cool to be with you guys. And sadly, we are leaving Cape Town this afternoon. We've been here now for, I think, about a week or so, and then we're heading to Jeffreys Bay, where we've got a team of guys from Durban joining us for an outreach into the Jeffreys Bay Oxygen Life. And so we're excited for that, and then we start heading our way home. And as I get home, just 2 days later, we've got a men's camp, so that's really exciting as well. Busy time, but it's been so amazing just to be a part of what God is doing in you as Josh Jen. And it's also cool just to minister into a new congregation that is Edgemead 8:30 a.m. And that's you guys, in case you didn't know. And much of what I shared with the leaders over the week, we had a time with the leaders, it was a Friday night, eh? Your home group leaders and so forth. And much of what I felt the Lord say to even them is for us to remember that God is doing something new in you as a congregation. The multiplication that happened from the previous congregation didn't leave you behind. You're a new congregation, and 11 a.m. is a new congregation, which means that God wants to do something in you guys, as I shared on Saturday last week, if you were there, as individuals within this congregation, but also as a congregation as a whole. Amen. All right. So I like feedback, just so you know. So it's really great. I mean, it's just one of those guys. Not for affirmation, just to see that you're there for yourself. Okay. So this morning, I had a title for my message, and I don't always, you know, titles are normally there for my case so that I can find the preach again if I want to use it later, and I don't know why you, I think people like titles, they want to put something there, but this morning, there's a bit of meaning behind my title, and I actually changed it during the prayer meeting. I had it entitled something totally different, which I'm not going to say. But the title of my message this morning is Burning Hearts and Open Eyes. And I felt this morning for you, and again, where's Dave? Dave, where are you? There's Dave. Dave was praying and he was saying, you know, as much as we preach to the church and to the people, the message is also for us, those that are preaching. And the Lord always wants to do something in us, you know, and my desire this morning is that our hearts would not just burn for the gospel, our hearts would not just burn with a message of reconciliation, as we read about in the Word, but that our eyes would be opened in conjunction with what our hearts are burning for. Amen. Because sometimes we have this real sense of what the Lord has done, that He died on the cross for us, but He was resurrected again on the third day. But something about us holding on to that message should do something in our lives. It should look a certain way on the daily. Amen. And I want to look at that with you this morning. And I really trust, I have a sense that the Lord is going to move us to a place this morning of letting go of some things that are holding us back from new life in Him. Amen. I feel like the Lord's going to even move us not just to be burning in our hearts with this message that He saved us, that He makes us new, that He heals us, that He restores us, but also from that belief, that burning in our hearts, to a place of action and walking daily with the reality of that message at work in our lives. And just vulnerably, quickly, at the beginning of this year, I felt the Lord say to me that He's going to do a deep work in us as an eldership team back in Durban. And then there's the next thing that He says, which was less comforting. And He said, I'm going to start with you. And I thought, geez, okay. But if that's what's needed, it's fine. And just at the beginning of this year, just to start with this, maybe, I've been serving the Lord now for probably 20 years, I think. Is that right? Roughly 20 years. 2006, I gave my heart to the Lord in Oxygen Life in Port Elizabeth and made Josh Chen my spiritual home, the place where the Lord would touch me, heal me, restore me through people through him, through who he is, and shape me and move me from one place to the next. And where's that young man? I don't know how young you are. Is he outside? Oh, it's okay. Dave. I know what you're saying. There's a young man this morning that he welcomed me into the church. He said, "Is it your first time here?" And I said, "Yeah, it's my, well, no, not really, but technically it was, because I'd never been to 8:30 a.m. Edge Meet." So I was sort of like saying yes and no at the same time. And he's like, "Well, then you get a free coffee." I thought, that's great. So have you ever been to Josh Jen before? Well, yeah, yes, I have, once or twice. But the beauty of his devotion to take a person that he does not know and do his part sincerely. Like sincerely. He basically gave me a hug. I hadn't even really met him yet. And drew me in, and he's kind of walking ahead of me, saying, "Come, I'm going to show you how the Lord wants to work through each one of us." And I can tell you now, I'm very sure the Lord had to take him from one place and start moving him forward in order for him to be at a place where he's able to welcome in new believers, new people, people that have not yet been here this morning. Amen. And so I wonder what the Lord wants to do in us this morning as we take our eyes off of our current and maybe even our past in order to grab a hold of what is ahead. Is that okay? And so, yes, recently I've been serving the Lord for 20 years, yet there was something about past that he wanted me to lose my grip on. He wanted me to let go of in order to move me forward into what lies ahead. And so I want to say, the reason I tell you that story is, I think if you can do it with me, not that I'm so, but me who's an elder, who oversees three congregations, who is ministering to you this morning, I would like to think that he can do it in you as well. And to maybe raise our expectations. To not think, well, I've got it all, and it's it, and I'll work it out. But maybe this morning he wants to remind you and open up your eyes. Amen. All right. So I'm going to start off. And this line is not random. It's not the line of divide. We're going to use that for an illustration just now. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17 says this. And it sort of speaks about what Jesus did on the cross for you and I. And it looks at one very, very key thing. Actually, two things. The first is, well, let's just read it quickly. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ," and I kind of put this to your leaders the other day as well, well, on Friday night. "If anyone is in Christ," which means you've placed your confidence and your faith in him and not in yourself. Okay? So if anyone is in Christ, who here would say that I am in Christ? My faith is in him. I am not able to justify myself. I cannot do this only through the finished work of the cross. If anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. In other words, it's already there. The old is gone. The new is here. So I wonder just this morning, how often and how, when last, when you struggle with a past thought or a past wrestle or a past hurt or a past failing, have you said this scripture out loud? I'm in Christ, therefore the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here. My past failure does not define me. That's not what creates the way forward. He's done it all. The new is here. You see, one of the challenges is that we have, as we know, a very real enemy that likes to sow what? The Bible says the devil is a liar. In fact, it says it's his native tongue. So what he does is he likes to come to you having been made a new creation, and remind you of past, remind you of old. He actually wants to try to get you to look back. He wants to try to get you to go back and grab a hold and even let go of what Jesus Christ has grabbed a hold of you for and return to things of old. And this morning, I feel like, not I feel like it's some hope, or, but I believe the Lord wants to open our eyes to the things that cause us to lose sight of who He is and what He has done. Romans 6 verse 5 says this: "For if we have been united with Him in a death like His, we certainly also will be united with Him in a resurrection like His. For we know that our old self," you must say this to yourself, "my old self has been crucified with Him, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with." So just that, so that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. That sin is not always the obvious things, the drunkenness, the drugs, the like adulterous kind of living, the all of those. It's not always just that. It's always partnering with anything that's not truth in Jesus Christ. It's choosing to believe anything outside of who He is and what He says. That's our old nature. So that the body ruled by sin might be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been set free from sin. And so the picture here is, it's this wrestle. Sometimes you and I have this wrestle. It's the wrestle between the reminder and the memory and the feeling and the awareness of what has been, but trying to live a new life. Maybe this morning the Lord wants to bring you to a place of actually forgetting, because that life's been crucified with Him in a crucifixion like His, and you've been raised again in a resurrection like His. Amen. So at some point, there's a sense of us needing to move from what's behind and move towards what lies ahead. My assistant's leaving. I need her just now. And why do I say that? And Paul writes something very specific to the Philippian church. Oh, jeez. Nearly deleted my whole preach. Philippians 3 verse 12. And I'm trying to paint a little bit of a picture here for you of what we see in the Bible. And the language that we see about salvation is always, it's always a crucifixion to old, a death to old, but walking in what's new. And often, as I said before, we try and want to look back all the time while trying to stand up and live a new life. So Philippians 3 verse 12 says this, and Paul is writing kind of about his ministry and moving forward, and he says this: "Not that I've already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take a hold of that for which Christ Jesus took a hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not yet consider myself to have taken a hold of it, but one thing I do." So in other words, he's kind of saying, hey, I'm not quite yet where I know I should be in Christ. I know that there's more for me. How many of you here this morning believe with your whole heart that there's more for you? There's a sense of, I know that there's more for me, but the problem is sometimes your past defines whether you even move forward in your mind and in your heart and in your faith, whether you keep moving forward or not. Not because of your past, but because of where your eyes are. And this is what Paul is saying here. He says, I don't yet consider myself to have taken a hold of it, but one thing I do. This is one thing he does. Forgetting what lies behind. And he says, straining toward what is ahead. Now, how would you explain the word straining? The very word strain means it's difficult, it's hard, it comes with resistance. How many of you know that your walk with the Lord comes with resistance? And sometimes it's almost like we give up the fight. We think like, it's fine, this is just my life. I'm just always going to battle with this thing. I'm just always going to battle with this mindset, or this kind of personality. Well, sometimes the kind of personality can be redeemed in the Lord. If it works against the nature of what Christ wants you to be, then I believe there might be a little bit of a redemption that needs to happen. But there's a straining forward. Jesus said, you'll have many troubles in this world. He said, it'll be difficult. And he says this in verse 14, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And obviously he's speaking about an eternal prize, an eternal inheritance, which is what we should all long for and live for and lay our lives down for. But I also believe that the Lord desires for us to lay our lives down to also have freedom and victory in this life. To not just cope and do our best and in my efforts and as long as I'm doing well, then I'm feeling well. But to in our worst say, I'm a new creation. The old is gone. And remind yourself of the scriptures. And the scripture says, well, Paul said he does this one thing. And for us to remind ourselves, I've got to do this one thing. I've got to forget what lies behind. And it's like in that moment, as I forget what lies behind, I get up from my knees, I get up from on the floor, I get up from wailing and grinding of gnashing of teeth and sackcloth and ashes, and I stand up to my two feet, because as much as I've been crucified, I've also been resurrected, and I stand up and I say, I've now forgotten what lies behind, and so now I will stand and I will strain forward to what lies ahead. And for many Christians, they stuck at the cross and the crucifixion at the cross, but they yet to move from the cross towards the resurrection that's happened in their lives. Maybe for some of you this morning, I believe the Lord is saying that one thing that's plaguing you, that one thing that's bugging you, bring it to a place of forgetfulness now. Forget about it. Let it go. Release it. I came up with this little saying this morning, and I have these moments of brilliance where I say things, well, I think of things, and I need to type them out quickly because it's the Holy Spirit that gave it to me. It wasn't my good, I mean, Mike, do you also do that? No, Mike's just brilliant. It just comes, it's on tap with him. I have moments. So I've learned, as they come to me, write them down. And I came up with a saying, the old has a hold unless there has been a loss at the cross. How's that? Oh, that's good, eh? That's fine, you can. I'm going to say it again. Because think about the old aspects, the old parts of your nature, the old that you're yet to let go of. The old has a hold unless there's been a loss at the cross. In other words, when I come to Jesus, those things that have a hold on me needs to die. I die. Those areas of me die. And unless they die, there cannot be new life. It holds me back. It pulls me back. It reminds me of what's at the back. Why? Because it's in your presence. So sometimes you wonder, why can I not just forget? Why can I not just, well, you haven't let it go. Luke 9, verse 23, Jesus speaking to his disciples says this, whoever wants to be my disciples, do you want to be his disciples? Do you want to be followers of Jesus? Must deny themselves and take up their cross daily and follow me. What does that mean? It means my life is not my own. I've been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus. But it also means that the things that hold me, and it's actually a lot more a practical choice than it is just some super spiritual thing that's just going to happen. It's a choice that I choose life in Him, not familiarity in past. I choose truth over the lie that keeps pulling me back. I choose to let go. It's a choice. It's a thing that you do. And then I look to Him. You choose and you look to Him. Because He's the only one that can sustain you. So I'm going to ask my lovely assistant to come to the front. And there's this principle that your physical body, and I'll use this illustration. Now and then I do a workout in the gym. And when you do, there's a specific, don't add. There's a specific workout or exercise called a squat. No frog jump. Stop it. It's called a squat. And you use a squat rack for it. And especially if you use an Olympic bar, it's a free bar. And you got weight plates on either side. And the point of a squat is you should be able to go heavy. You should be able to pretty much at least squat your body weight 10 times. They say that by military, just entry-level standards, you should be able to do 10 reps of your own body weight. That's entry-level, okay? Then there's intermediate and advanced. So the principle is this. You generally, when you do a squat, you're going to look in the mirror at yourself. Not to admire your quads, to look at yourself and look at your eyes in the mirror. And if you don't, you tend to lean forward and lose your balance. Okay, so the principle here is your body will generally go where your eyes are focused. If I look down, so what you want to do is, as you do the movement, you want to look down. But if you look down, you're going to lean forward and you're going to fall. You should try it. So I've got a lovely assistant. This is my wife. And she's going to walk until she gets to this point. And then she's going to look at you. And let's just have a look at what happens. She's supposed to stay on the line, by the way. Okay, I think the illustration was done even before she started doing it, but you see the point. Do not look to the left or to the right. And so there's something about us keeping our eyes on Jesus that keeps us moving in the way that He wants us to move. Take your eyes off your past. Take your eyes off what's behind you. And even this morning, I wonder how many of us even realize, man, I've got this constant struggle. I've got this constant wrestle. I've got this constant challenge. And I've been wrestling with this thing for 10 years, 5 years, or 1 year, or, well, I'd like to say, I think a few days is enough. I think when things pop up, we got to heal them to the foot of the cross. And then now that that thing's been put to death, we got to also be resurrected and walk in the opposite way. Amen. So I want to read the scripture to you, just bringing this message to a close. And this is two disciples that after Jesus had been resurrected are walking on the road to Emmaus. And basically they're having this conversation and they in a sense are speaking about the fact that he had died. And they'd lost sight of the fact that he said he would come back, that he would be resurrected. And at one point, it says that Jesus actually starts walking with them on the road to Emmaus. And they're talking and they're having this conversation, but they're failing to recognize that it's him. They're failing to understand that it's him. And at one point, he says to them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" And it says they stood still. So in other words, they stopped walking forward and their faces downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And then he says, "Well, what things?" And they start explaining to them what had happened. And basically, they just say, like, he said that he would do this. He said that this is who he was. He said that he would be the one to come and save us. But he's now died. The story carries on, and then he says to them this in verse 25. He says, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer all these things and then enter his glory?" So Jesus is kind of like trying to almost make a bit of a hint, like, hey, this is what he said. And then verse 28 carries on. It says, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going further. And then later on, he actually comes and he's with his disciples and he starts speaking to them. And then as we know, as we read from verse 31, this is Luke 24, by the way. You don't have to put it up. I didn't give this to AV because I just wanted to, this story I actually thought of as we were in worship. So it wasn't actually part of my notes. And he says in verse 30, Luke 24, when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. What was the significance of him taking bread, breaking it, and giving it to his disciples? Well, number one, he did that with his disciples just before he was about to be crucified. Now he's resurrected, and what does he do? He breaks bread with his disciples and he shares, the symbolism is, his broken body on their behalf. And he gives it to them. And it says this. Where am I? When he was at the table with them, he took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then it says, verse 31, then their eyes were opened and they recognized him and he disappeared from their sight. And then they asked each other, and this is the two, said, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? And so they go back to the time when they were on the road with him, the two, and they recognized there was something of what he was saying. There was something was burning within us. But the problem was they lost sight of what he had promised to going to look like was different to how it actually worked out. They expect him to save them in a different way, but they didn't hold on to the truth that he was the one that would save them, that it was up to him. They recognized there was a burning, but their hearts weren't opened. And so I wonder, even for us this morning, as we recognize the truth, we recognize, but we have to actually stand and walk in the truth. We've got to let go of the old and grab a hold of the new. And that's our journey with the Lord. So I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, if that's okay. Where's the worship guys? And maybe the rest of us can, in a sense, just for a while, even this morning, I thought to myself, sometimes when we come to church, and I want to say to you as Josh in 8:30 a.m., you have a time slot, in a sense. But to be careful to come in and do the worship and do the announcements and do the preach and do the response and do the coffee at the back, neglecting the faith that the Lord wants to do something in you, to almost slow down, in a sense. To stop and just go, Lord, what is burning at the moment in my heart? What do you want to open my eyes to right now? I know the truth. I know what you've said in your word. I know what you've promised. I know what you want to do. I know, but what is burning in my heart right now? Lord, would you also open my eyes? I don't want it to just be a burning in my heart. So maybe even just as you're sitting there, I have a real sense that, you know, for some of us, there was a burning in your heart at one point. The certainty of what he had said and who he is. But for some reason, the overshadowing belief of who I used to be and even maybe who you are now. Things that stand in your way, the struggles, it keeps you from believing and holding fast to what he's saying. And maybe this morning he wants to cause our hearts to burn again. The simplicity, but the power of the gospel. So why don't you, if you feel like the Lord is wanting to create something and do something in your heart this morning and maybe cause it to burn in an area, why don't you close your eyes and just use this time just to get before him and just slow it all down before you rush to a specific response or rush to a certain action. Just allow the Lord to come and bring a burning upon your heart. Just pray a little bit in the background. Father, we thank you. We thank you that you did everything through your Son Jesus that was needed to reconcile us to yourself, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that no matter how long we've served you, we've known you or followed you, you never let go and you never stop. That you're faithful to finish within us the work that you'd started. Lord, we thank you that this morning, as much as there's parts of our old life that are not great, that we can bring them to you this morning and that they are dead, they're done. That your promise is that we can be resurrected and live a new life, Lord, not bound by or defined by the old. So maybe if you do have